Before we convene the formal City Council meeting this morning, we have a special presentation, and Drew Mihalik from the Oregon Sports Authority is here to kick that off. And after that, we'll gavel in the formal session of the council, but we're going to have some fun first. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, everyone. I'm Drew Mihalik of the Oregon Sports Authority. Our local honorary council, Andy McRitchie, representing the United Kingdom, put our organization, the Oregon Sports Authority, in touch with Mr. Robin Newman, the Vice Consul of the British Consulate General, to discuss a very important visit discussing the cultural and economic legacy of the 2012 London Olympics. I've given each of you a DVD and a flag to put you in the spirit of the Olympics. It's my honor to introduce the British Prime Minister's Olympic and Paralympic Legacy Ambassador. He's a highly decorated athlete, 11 world records in the middle distance races, two-time Olympian, four medals, two gold. And if you wonder whether these achievements could be exceeded, he did so, serving as chair of the London Organizing Committee of the Olympic and Paralympic Games. He delivered the most inspiring address in an opening ceremony in the Olympics I've ever heard, with nearly 5 billion people watching across networks throughout the world. Please welcome the internationally renowned Lord Sebastian Coe.
Welcome, Lord Coe. It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm delighted to be here. And thank you also for so graciously hosting me this morning in a part of the world that was, for me, the cradle of the running revolution. It's why, in large part, I became an athlete. It's the people that drove that running revolution. And, of course, I don't need to be in this part of the world for very long without mentioning the inspirational name of Steve Prefontaine, who created a generation of athletes that came through on his formative coattails. But I'm delighted to be here, delighted to be a part of the world that really does understand the impact that sport has in local communities, and that is what we set out to challenge ourselves in London. And I think also congratulations are due to you as well in your new endeavors in this city. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, it's a great honor to have you here, and as you know, Oregon does have this wonderful legacy of sports and the outdoors and running in particular. And we're very excited about that reputation and the possibilities for the future. We're also excited about some of the upcoming events around the world. I had a chance to visit Brazil and hear about some of their preparations for the Olympics there. I just met with representatives of Qatar this morning because they're preparing for the 2022 World Cup in Doha. So the international community of sports includes Portland. And we're happy about that. We also have fond and long ties to Great Britain here in Portland, including on this council. So I might want to give Commissioner Fritz a chance in particular to welcome you.
Lord Coe, it's very exciting to have you here. My British accent is coming right out, right? One of the things I was most impressed about with the London Olympics was the volunteer effort, and you named it the People's Olympics. And for those watching at home who weren't aware, 240,000 people offered to volunteer at the Olympics, and 70,000 people were trained. An amazing feat in and of itself. And so thank you very much for visiting us, and thank you for all you've done for sport in general.
That's very kind of you. I saw the London Games as very much more than just something that we were very honored to deliver for 4 weeks in the history and the life of our nation. For me, it had to have a lasting and sustainable legacy. And that is the second half of the journey that the Prime Minister has asked me to help with. The first 10 years were the delivery of the vision, then the delivery of the games. The second half of the journey will be tougher because, if the 20th century was about connecting sport to the world, the 21st century will be connecting young people to sport. And the legacy, both spiritual and economic, is one that we really do want to leverage in every possible opportunity. But thank you for your encouraging words, and your British accent is coming through very strongly this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Lord Coe, we welcome you to Portland. I just want to tell you that you caused a real stir in this building. One of our deputy city attorneys, Lindley Reese, who's quite a runner, was walking around saying, did you know that Sebastian Coe is in the house? So that's a big deal. And I also want to just thank our friends in the Oregon Sports Authority, Drew and Lynn. They do a marvelous job being ambassadors for sport and helping Portland brand its work around sport. And so you couldn't hang out with two better guys. So thank you for joining us.
I'm looking forward to meeting the Olympians in a few moments as well. But thank you very much for your courtesy and the way that you've hosted me so far.
Lord Coe, I wanted you to know that Mitt Romney actually had a 20-point lead in the polls in Oregon before he dissed London's preparation for the Olympics, and he just collapsed after that. So people here were paying close attention.
We're happy to have helped out in that way, too.
I think I will leave that for your observations.
Well, welcome. It's so nice to have you here. Lord Coe is going to be speaking in the atrium, I believe, at 10 o'clock, and we're going to have a number of the Olympians from Oregon here. We hope to keep producing more Olympic contenders and having them succeed in the Olympics ahead. So thanks for all that you've done for the movement, and welcome so much to being here in Portland.
Well, thank you very much. And, of course, Mo Farah, I think you can rightly claim to be at least in part a product of Oregonian ingenuity and good coaching. Thank you.
Welcome. Hear, hear. Thank you. Wonderful. So we'll convene the regular meeting of the City Council. Call the roll, please.
Fritz. Here. Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Novick.
Here.
Hales.
Here. We have a number of communications items. Let's take those up in turn, please.
Item 138, request of Angel Lambert to address council regarding fluoridation and the environment.
Ms. Lambert, welcome. You just have to state your name for the record, and of course you know you have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Angel Lambert, and I'm the mother to a beautiful toddler. But before my daughter Gwendolyn came along, I was a small business owner. I also have a thyroid autoimmune disorder and have been warned by both my primary care physician and my dentist to avoid fluoride because it is a thyroid suppressant. I am here today because I want my daughter Gwendolyn to grow up here in this beautiful city like I did, and because we must be mindful of our place amongst all the creatures in this world. I'm here to talk about our beautiful salmon. This creature was considered critical to the survival of many Native American peoples of our region, yet when the 900,000 people who are served by Bull Run water flush the toilet, shower, and clean up after dinner, all of this water is sent to a water treatment facility where it is cleaned, and then at a rate of 50,000 gallons per minute, it is sent into the Columbia River. I learned an interesting thing about salmon lately. I have always wondered how they are born in freshwater, go live in the salted ocean, and then turn around and come back home to the freshwater place where they were born. I can understand this because no matter how far from Portland I get, I always have an insatiable desire to come back home. So in order to survive in fresh and salt water, salmon have to be very good at regulating the levels of water and salt in their bodies. Both are very important and necessary to their survival. When they are in fresh water, they basically harvest the salt from the water, but it's fresh water, so they have to process a whole lot of it to get enough salt. The problem with fluoridated water is that the salmon will end up collecting too much fluoride in an attempt to get enough salt out of the water. So it's very easy for the salmon to reach fluoride toxicity. This can kill the salmon outright, or it can make them sick and unable to spawn, thus endangering the very salmon populations that we've spent so much time, money, and effort to restore. Now, much has been said about the benefits of fluoridated water, but don't we owe it to our city to consider what the downstream costs of water fluoridation are? What will be the cost to our beloved salmon, and what will be the costs to the rivers, the parks, and the forests? Now, when you walk along the waterfront and you finish drinking your coffee, you don't just throw it into the river because you're done with what you needed. That would be littering. It would be rude to the folks around you, and quite frankly, it would be very un-Portland. You'll probably look for a trash can or just carry it with you to where you were headed. You might even wish that you had remembered to bring your coffee cup. instead of getting a paper cup. But when it comes to water fluoridation, that is exactly what is happening all over the country. Cities are getting what they want out of the water and then just littering it back into the world with no consideration for its impact on the rest of the planet. But we're Portland, Oregon, and we pack out what we brought in and just littering the fluoridated water back into the world without consideration for the environmental impact is not okay. And so I ask you, as our city council, what are the downstream costs of adding these chemicals to our water? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Please. Next item, please.
Item 139, request of Art Llewellyn to address council regarding CRC, time for a timeout.
Morning, Art. Welcome. No, I think we have to stick with the order we've got, Art. Sorry, we've got this on the calendar, so I don't want to start remodeling the calendar as I go. Well, Art, we can't program it that way, so you got to take your turn.
That made it easier on me.
I apologize, but we got a calendar. We need to stick to it.
I know, and you've got things to do at 10 o'clock that should be great.
Good morning. And you know the rules, 3 minutes, and just state your name for the record.
I know. My name is Arthur Llewellyn. I live in Northwest Portland, and I'm here today to speak about the Columbia River Crossing Project. I have some recommendations, some requests. I want to talk a little bit about myself. I want to lead into the Columbia River Crossing Project and finish with why I'm here today. Request. I request and ask that the city, as a part of policy, make a determination that when people come before the council, that their concerns are addressed as soon as possible. I feel like people are losing faith in our governments, and especially with the people who participate. They want to know that you really are listening and taking their concerns seriously. I became an advocate for light rail in 1992 and produced a design for Portland, and it received a review. And I look back and I say, well, our progress has I believe, proceeded fairly. So in 2000, I took the design itself, which I say was not is a concept more than a design proposal. It's a concept, and so I asked for a review again of the design that I used to apply in Seattle, and I didn't know where else to take it to, so I'm asking for a review, a request. The Columbia River Crossing Project to me is such a mess. I do not believe that the bridge design that is now on the table can or should be built. I believe it is structurally unsound. I believe the commission has lost its credibility, and I blame Washington State Department of Transportation as the main agency, as lead agency, who have tampered with this planning process. In Oregon, I blame the Port of Portland for being the agency that most knew about the river clearance issue. They should have known. And because their plans for the Hayden Island terminal on West Hayden Island, that is no place for a rail oval track. You do not want to tie up the main line. You don't want to risk closure and a derailment. And in terms of predictions of global warming, flooding is going to be even greater there. So the place to invest in rail is in North Portland. I think I can finish now with the half a minute I have left. In Seattle, I have come carefully to watch all of their plans up there, and I am fearful of the plan for Washington State Highway Department to put a bored tunnel under that city, and I am predicting that if it is built, it will undermine the building foundations of the city in Seattle and eventually bring them down. It is a terrible danger, and I am just distraught. I'm distraught, fearful that it's going to happen, and I ask the city to take this claim, which I've submitted to you before, seriously, please.
We will, Art. Thank you. Thanks for being here this morning.
Well, thank you for that polite reply, Mr. Mayor. I'm just a wreck.
No, you're raising good points. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it.
I did want to go last because I wanted to be fair to the others.
No, you're fine. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for coming. Thanks, Art. Next item, please.
Item 140, request of Larry Southall to address council regarding the housing discrimination audit testing by the Fair Housing Council of Oregon. He called. He might be late, he said.
Oh, okay. And next, please.
Item 141, request of Barbara Booz to address council regarding chronic nuisance complaint.
Booz? Is she here?
She's here.
Oh. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
State your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes. Thank you. And did you have any? I wasn't sure if you wanted us to have any of those items. Just give them to our clerk.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, yes, Mayor
Good.
Hales.
Thank you. Welcome,
Mayor Hales. My name is Barbara Booz, and I brought these.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And they're regarding the, I'm nervous right now. My attorney wants me to ask you regarding a chronic nuisance ordinance, which I may have. He wanted to ask specifically you, Mayor, and the council for this ordinance. I'm not sure if it's the correct ordinance, and he wants, I will appreciate if you will please look into it. It's in regards to the 20 pages that I've just given to you, and in 2011, Housing Inspector Charles Myrick came over to my property regarding a chronic.
Yeah.
Regarding a chronic nuisance complaint, and it was regarding the trees that were growing into my foundation that are cracking my foundation of my home as well as my garage and causing lightning to go into my kitchen. The trees are overhanging as well as my roofs and ruining my roofs as well as going into my foundation. Now, he saw firsthand, he took pictures, and he thought that the neglect was so severe that he recommended to remove all the vegetation and debris 5 feet from my property line. And I will ask for you to be proactive as soon as possible to look into this situation, because as far as I was told by Colleen Poole in personnel under Commissioner Saltzman, that Ed Merihart blocked this procedure. And at the 2000 council meeting, it was Charles Myrick's signature was lifted. But he had me do an arborist report, and I worked with five arborists. I got the five arborists lined up, and the person who saw that I, as a hardship case, he did it for one-tenth the amount. But they were all in agreement as to what to do.
You're out of time, so when you've given us this information, we'll make sure that my office gets you a copy of that ordinance, because that's something that you specifically request. And obviously, we'll all review this. So thanks for bringing it here this morning.
Thank you. And if you will please, if this is the correct ordinance, that's what my attorney wants to know, because we have chronic nuisance complaints with this ordinance that Carla presented to me, but we don't know if the trees cover it, and so we'd appreciate working with you so I can file a decent lawsuit.
We can't necessarily interpret the ordinance for you, but we can certainly get you a copy. So,
well, we'd like to meet regarding my the condition of my property right now and what step I'm supposed to take, because Charles Myrick was put a gag order, and I don't know what the next procedure is. I mean, he works underneath you, Porofsky. He said he volunteered to use sonar to, because I'm afraid of the dig, because
it's not going into the details this morning. But thanks for bringing it to our attention, and we'll get you a copy of the ordinance to make sure you know who you can follow up with.
Yeah, I'd like to see if we could follow up with a meeting in regards to the correct application for ordinance for filing it with the city of Portland to make sure that things are cleaned up, because I want to donate my property for creative purposes to the community upon my demise. So it means a lot.
Thank you. Thanks for coming this morning. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. Thank you for accepting me.
Next item is 142, request of Grace Groom to address council regarding continued funding for Sun Schools programming.
Good morning. Again, just state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Hey. My name is Grace Groom, and thanks for having me here today. I'm here today to show my support for the Sun Schools programs run by Portland Parks and Recreation. I'm a mother of two young children in the audience today, and we have several other children here today that are participants in the Roseway Heights Sun School program. It's been a great program and a huge benefit to many of our children and families at Roseway Heights. For the past 2 years at Roseway Heights, my son has taken and loved all of his after-school sun classes. He wakes up in the morning excited to go to school when he knows it's a sun class day. I know the reality of the budget situation, and $25 million is no small number. I don't envy your job at all. But I just really want to strongly recommend that Sun Schools be spared cuts, because the programs are so important to families and neighborhoods. My family would not be able to afford after-school enrichment programs such as the ones that Sun offer without the Roseway Heights Sun program. I know times are tough, but I also know that once Sun programs are closed, the likelihood of them being reopened once the economy turns around, which we're all seeing signs of, I know that that chance of them being reopened is pretty slim. And many lives will be negatively impacted if the Sun schools are closed now. Roseway Heights has had a Sun program for 13 years, probably around the time that you, Mr. Mayor, were advocating for the creation of Sun. Before that, we had a community school run by Portland Parks for another 20 years. So that's 33 years of a lot of history and a lot of lives positively impacted in our neighborhood. Just last year, this is the first year that was impacted, we lost our Title I funding at Roseway Heights because of Portland's public schools changing it from 60% to 40% free and reduced lunch to get Title I fund money. So we still have a significant financial need at our school, right about 40%. And without the Title I funding, we've had to make significant staff cuts and ask our families to pay the $300+ a month for all-day kindergarten. If the Sun funding is also cut, these challenges would be made exponentially harder to bear for our families. 50% of the students at Roseway Heights participate in the Sun program. That's about 300 of our K-8 kids. And that's, from what I understand, about double the average of other Sun schools. It also offers summer camps at Glen Haven Park, which is adjacent to Madison High School. And those camps are very popular with everyone in the neighborhood, serving a wide population, not just our school population. And the staff at these summer camps administer the lunch program, which has kids lined up across the park for that in the summer. We have a robust participation from neighbors that come into the building that otherwise wouldn't if the Sun program wasn't there. That gives them a feeling of connection to the school and allows us to help leverage some resources from those neighbors that might not have been connected in another way. So in conclusion, I urge you to continue funding all Sun programs run by Portland Parks and Rec. It's doing a fantastic job, and it's a really providing an important service to our neighbors. If I can beg 30 more seconds, I brought a book of letters from first and second graders at Roseway Heights for you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, leave that for us.
So I'll read a couple of those. Dear Mayor Hales, can I please take book club classes next year? Please don't destroy our Sun classes. Please, I love my Sun classes. Don't take them away. I learned in Taekwondo that we trust each other. I learned in girls' skateboard that we never give up. I learned in theater class that we got to work together. I learned a lot of things in sun classes. And that was from Aiden.
One more, and then...
One more? Okay.
Letters from kids, we're suckers for those.
I know, huh? Dear Mayor Hales, I really want you to keep the Sun program going because they help us work with other people. They also help us bring peace to the world. Can't argue with that, right? I learned how to sing and protect my body. I love that you spent the money on letting us have Sun programs! Exclamation marks all over the place. Thank you, sincerely, Brooke Anderson. So I'll leave these for you,
thanks.
Mr.
Thanks
Mayor.
Thanks for coming and for bringing those.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, kids, for being here. Hope your rest of your day is good. Thanks for being here. Good morning.
Mayor Hales, Mr. Southall has arrived.
Is he here now? Okay, yes. Good. Mr. Southall, please come
Item on. 140, request of Larry Southall to address council regarding the housing discrimination audit testing by the Fair Housing Council of Oregon.
Good morning. Just need to put your name into the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Larry Southall. And you all remember the...
Are you here individually or representing an organization?
No, I'm here individually. We all remember the press that came out in April of 2011 where claims were made that 64% of minority testers were discriminated against when seeking rental housing. And those claims were made by the Fair Housing Council of Oregon under contract to perform testing for the City of Portland. The point I would like to make today is that I don't think the city has thoroughly addressed the damage that those claims have made to the housing providers in the city. And I would like to have someone in the city examine the original test documents thoroughly and make some statement to the press about the validity of those documents, or validity of the claims, I should say. I began studying the documents when I received them from Boley as public information last year and have brought it to the attention of the city. But the response that the city has made has been, I think soft-pedaled in terms of not describing the tests as false, or the claims as false. The public has been left with the perception that the claims themselves are by and large true, but there were flaws in the tests, and so they couldn't prosecute any of those racist landlords. And I read and studied those documents thoroughly. I found no racist landlords. In my opinion, the claims are fraudulent. So I you've been a housing provider, Mayor Hales. If you can devote some time from you or your staff to look at these documents and make some statement to the public, that to date has not been done, and I think it needs to be done. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Thank you. And I think we'll move on to consent calendar. There were some requests for items to be pulled.
Item 144.
144. Okay. So we'll...
Item 143. If you wouldn't mind pulling that back to your office, that's the appointments to the Budget Committee.
Okay. Any others? Okay, so let's... those two are pulled. I will take item 143 back to my office for further review, and we'll take up item number 144 after the consent calendar. So let's take a motion on the remainder of the consent calendar.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Approved. And item 144?
Adjust date for the Portland Police Chief's report on the Portland Police Bureau work with the Federal Bureau of Investigation Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Mr. Handelman, I think you wanted to make a statement about this. What's that? I don't think so. Yeah. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Harrelson and Commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. And we pulled this item not necessarily because we disagree with the substance, but because the process of reopening the question of the resolution that was passed 2 years ago means that there's other pieces of the resolution that could be addressed at this time. And I might point out that if the intention is to make it so that the report will come out in March of every year instead of January, I'm not sure that grammatically that the way it's written right now, it's 100% clear that's what it's going to do. So I don't know if there's a chance to take a look at that language before you vote on it. But one of the things we were hoping you would do, particularly since this is about the timing of the report, is put enshrine into the resolution what happened last year and what we're hoping will happen this year, which is to have a two-week period where the public has a chance to review the draft report before it goes before council. And we do hope that we'll have a chance to do that again in here and into the future, because these reports can be very complicated and we need to understand them before we come and testify before you. And that said, just as a reminder for the history, that just in terms of the process of this item as well, that the Joint Terrorism Task Force existed way back in 1997 before 9/11 even happened, and it came up on the consent agenda here at when you, Mayor Hales, were a commissioner, and we pulled it off the consent agenda then. And it's a very important issue, and I'm hoping that anything to do with the Joint Terrorism Task Force will be heard with a full airing like this with a public discussion. Even though I know it's just a technical thing to move the date, we try to make sure that these things end up on the regular agenda. And again, for those of you who are not maybe familiar with the whole history, at the time the first agreement surfaced on the consent agenda, it had very nasty language in it about going after right-wing and left-wing groups and the environmental movement. And Commissioner Hales then said, this sounds like something out of the Nixon era. And they had some of the language rewritten. And then Commissioner Hales was the only commissioner ever to vote against the renewal of the task force. We thank you for that. And then in 2005, Mayor Potter created a resolution that actively said that Portland would only participate on a case-by-case basis. That never apparently it ended up with an engagement with the police until after the 2010 so-called Holiday Tree bombing plot, when the city made the new resolution that you're modifying today. So while we have deep concerns about the underlying issues around the police working with the FBI, again, I'm hoping that you'll take to heart my procedural issues and the comments that I made about maybe enshrining in the resolution, if you're going to change it, a two-week period for the public to review the documents.
Thank you. Thanks. Let me respond, because I think we can. I intend to still take action on this today, but I appreciate you raising these issues, and it is certainly my intention that we'll have a full public discussion on the substantive issues. The point of this resolution is just to reset the calendar. To be flippant about a serious subject, there used to be an oil change place in Portland whose motto was, we don't want to change the world, we just want to change your oil. And all we're doing with this is changing the calendar. But points noted, and we'll make sure that there's a full public discussion when the substance of this is taken up. But the point of this is to have the council not be perennially late as we take up this annual review. So if there's not any further testimony or concerns, then I would like to take a vote on the resolution.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Thank you. Okay. We are to the regular agenda.
Item 157, vacate a portion of Northeast Sumner Street, west of Northeast 14th Place, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Second reading, roll call.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Item number 158.
Adopt winter supplemental budget changes to the fiscal year 2012-13 revised budget and make budget adjustments in various funds.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Andrew Scott, budget director, and with me is Claudio Campuzano, who's the city's budget monitoring process coordinator. As you know, we had a work session last week on the winter budget monitoring process, so we covered a lot of these issues in detail, so I'll be brief today and just sort of hit a couple of the highlights. In terms of the big actions that are happening in this winter bump, and again, the general fund reconciliation report is what we often refer back to in terms of going through these, there's a transfer of just under $50,000 from the compensation set aside to the Fire Bureau. For an employment claim. There are some reallocations of mid-year reductions, primarily from the Office of Management and Finance. These were reductions that were taken in the fall. There are a number of new requests related to the Department of Justice report. Those requests are funded in here for the current year. The bump also includes language that changes current appropriation level targets for next fiscal year. And we had a good conversation, I think, about the Department of Justice costs last week. One of the changes that has been made is funding has been included for an additional 0.5 FTE investigator in the Independent Police Review Division based on that conversation. This winter bump also includes the transfer of the loan funds to the Water Bureau, again, to repay them for some of the work they did down on the Rose Festival building. Also included are transfer of vacancy savings funding of $411,000. Again, as we talked about last week, this is an ongoing process throughout the year. So that $411,000 is taken out of there. Funding for parks and recreation for the fields, the opening of the fields. We did go back at the request of council and work with parks on that number. There is $19,490 included in the winter bump for the opening of the fields this year. And again, as was the case before when we talked about it, ongoing funding is included starting in next year's budget at the full amount that parks requested. And I think those were the major highlights. So any questions?
Questions, Andrew, Claudia?
On the Justice Department settlement, I know we're sort of establishing a baseline for next year's budget, but do you think, I mean, will there be a barrier for us to revisit some of the issues relating to funding the settlement before we approve next year's budget? I mean, I think that IPR, in addition to asking for half an investigator, also asked for additional administrative staff. I personally still have some questions as to why we need an entire police captain calling up the other captains to monitor their compliance with the settlement. And I'm just assuming that we'll have more opportunity to look at those issues before we adopt next year's budget.
Yeah, I'll answer the question generically, if that's okay. Council always, as they go through every budget process, can look at programs that are in every bureau and modify either by reducing or increasing or keeping funding the same. What this bump does is it sets out what the current appropriation level is for those bureaus next year. Certainly, council, during the budget process, either this budget process, a future bump, or a future budget process, could revisit those issues.
Andrew, our contingency following action today will be how much?
Yeah, that's great. I meant to mention that. In total, the winter bump spends $9,766 out of that contingency, bringing the total down to just over $65,000.
Other questions for staff? Great. Thank you very much. Is there any public testimony on this item?
No one else signed up.
Then this is an emergency ordinance, and we'll take a roll call, please.
Fritz?
Thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish?
Andrew, thanks for your outstanding work. This was one of the more challenging bumps that we've gone through. Mayor, thank you for supporting the revised figure on O&M for the fields, which we hope to have a soft opening in March and a more formal opening to follow, although it just occurred to me that's rather presumptuous of me to say that. But I hope to be attending whatever soft opening or opening that you schedule. thank you, Andrew. Aye.
Novick?
I really appreciated the lively discussion we had about these issues last week, and I appreciate the action taken as a result of them. And so thanks, everybody, and aye.
Hales?
Well, I want to thank the council for a good deliberation. I agree, Commissioner Novick, and our staff and bureaus for working well together and taking up these questions. I think this, you can sum up what we did in this bump and maybe adopt a motto for the next budget, which is managing scarcity responsibly, and I think we've done that. So thank you all for good work. Aye. Okay, next item.
Item 159, grant a franchise to Lucid Energy, Inc. for a renewal energy project in conjunction with the Water Bureau for a period of 20 years.
This was on a previous council calendar and is back. Not an emergency, but we have staff here. That's right. Okay. Mary Beth, welcome.
Hi, I'm Mary Beth Henry, the Office for Community Technology Revenue Bureau, and I'm happy to answer any questions. This franchise will allow Lucid to install with the Water Bureau turbines within Water Bureau pipe to produce renewable energy on city property and generate revenue for the city.
So, further questions for Mary Beth? No.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I asked Mayor Beth to come and give me a thorough briefing on this matter. It's a different kind of project than not our typical franchise agreement, so she answered all my questions. And if anybody in the public is interested, she can answer all their questions, too. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mary Beth.
Thank you.
Anyone else here to testify on this? And then since it was a previous agenda, I think we vote on it now, or does it roll
No,
over?
This goes to
rolls
a
second reading
March 27th.
Moves to second reading, and we are adjourned.
Charlie, you want to take a minute now?
I'd love to.
Thank you.